like when you started your business. You had a dream. You had boundless passion. You wanted to create something different. There was a problem, and you were going to solve it. Being an independent retailer is rewarding, but challenging, and there's a lot more to it than you ever imagined. Well, Lightspeed is here to help. With 45,000 customers around the world, we've helped countless entrepreneurs nail the business side of retail so they can spend time doing what they're passionate about. Join us for a six-week speaker series featuring a curated panel of experts that will answer some of retail's toughest questions and give you the edge you need to stay competitive. You have a passion, and we have a passion for technology inspired by you. Visit lightspeedhq.com/speaker-series to learn more.
Today, I'm speaking with Brad Tracy, Global Retail Segment Manager at HP, and we're going to be talking about HP's experience in the POS market and the new system that they just announced called Elite POS. How are you today, Brad?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. So HP has been in the POS and retail business for a long time. What is the Elite POS and how did it come about being created?
So the Elite POS is our newest introduction to the overall portfolio that we call RPOS, or Retail Point of Sale. So it really came about as a result of trying to help retailers to better meet their customers' needs and to create a store environment that is really one about sort of store experience and one about design. So we tried to make sure that the product itself was an absolutely beautiful and elegant product, very contemporary looking, so it would fit into the retail environment that today's retailers are trying to create.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I can definitely say that it looks beautiful just from looking at it, and I especially love the way that you've fitted the printer into the stand.
Yes, very space-saving, trying to reduce the footprint in the counter. That counter space is so incredibly valuable to retailers, whether it be for impulse items or just for engaging with the customer and working with the products. So we wanted to try and minimize that footprint on the counter itself.
Okay. So that's actually another question that just came to mind. So a lot of times now we're seeing receipts even being emailed to people. I'm assuming that's probably an option through your partners, right? Through your software partners. Is that an option?
Yes, absolutely. We work with all of the industry leading partners, both U.S. and globally. And most of those folks do have the ability to do e-receipts. It's becoming very popular amongst the customers and the consumers.
Okay. So if a retailer is interested in the POS, the Elite POS system, How many pieces are there to getting a complete solution for them? It's the hardware. You provide the hardware, but there is other pieces to it, right?
Sure. Typically, there's kind of three or four main components. And, of course, you can segregate that down even further if you desire. But the hardware itself is key, right? You got to have something that's highly reliable, something that looks good, something that provides you a high level of security. And that's something we're delivering here with the Elite POS. But the second piece, and really what brings the hardware to life, is the software itself. And so, like I say, we work with all of the industry leading folks, again, both U.S., globally. We have three different regions from Europe, or what we call EMEA, our Asia Pacific operation, and then our Americas operation. So beyond the software, there's usually a third component, and that third component is really the payment rails. So again, working with our software partners, with a variety of different payment options to be able to take not only the legacy payment devices and payment types that exist out there, but also the latest EMV payment, the chip, if you will, the chip and signature that you've seen here in America lately.
Okay, so can you tell me a couple of the partners, the software partners that you work with closely?
Sure, we work with a number of software partners. So PCMS is a great partner of ours, GK Software, Sajid, LS Retail, Retail Pro, Manhattan Associates. Those okay. are just a few of the global partners. But again, from a regional perspective, the market is highly fragmented. So there are many hundreds of partners depending upon the specific geography and the specific vertical that the customer is in. And we work with just hundreds of partners across the globe.
Okay. So, you know, one of the biggest pains for any IT system, I guess a manager or retailer system, is to make a change, right? It's to change their POS system, for example. What are the implications of somebody wanting to just change from another system to HP? What do you advise to them for that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. It depends upon what they're changing. If they're making a hardware change, that's relatively straightforward, and they're keeping the same software, right? They need to make sure that their software provider will support the latest operating systems and support the latest hardware. But for the most part, software providers are continuing to keep their products updated. So that's relatively straightforward. If they're changing the software, that can be a larger task. There's file conversions, there's porting of the application and the different databases and the integrations so that they can all talk together, if you will. And in addition to that, there's an operational aspect, a disruption in the store as they are, changing out the software and retraining the associates to use that software. So that can be a bigger issue, but certainly something that can be managed, and retailers do that every day.
Right. I mean, that retraining part is definitely can take a lot of time, depending on how it's planned, of course, and the new system. So, sometimes and this happens with all kinds of even newer style POS systems. And something that I used to get with just one click on a POS system, now the person has to do like four clicks, the menu system and everything. But that's in the software, really. It's not the hardware.
Yeah, it is in the software. But what I would say is that more and more today's software is becoming better and better. It's becoming more and more intuitive as consumers are more and more familiar with using touch technology in their everyday lives. Those are the same folks that are the cashiers and the clerks and the store staff. So that intuitiveness, not only because they're using that stuff in their everyday lives, but also the software providers are really taking heed and learning from that and utilizing those same sort of methodologies in the development of their software.
Right. Okay. So what is the market penetration or the customer segments that HP is focusing on with this product?
So you can segment the market in a lot of different ways. We look at it from a geographic perspective, first and foremost. So again, as I mentioned, we have three different regions. Secondarily, we look at it from a vertical perspective. So there are what we call the general retail. There is the grocery market. There's the hospitality market. So, and again, each of those can be segmented down much more granularly. So that's a second approach. And then finally, from a tiering perspective, from a tier one retailer, a very large retailer, all the way down into what we consider to be tier five, which would be the single store operator. So different ways in which you can segment the market. HP really, with this new product, this ElitePause, really covers the gamut of those. This is a product that has such versatility in terms of the way in which you can configure the product that we can hit all of the different tiers. We can hit all of the different geographies. So for example, the printer and the display are capable of printing multi-byte characters, for example. So we can handle the other languages, if you will. So that gets us a geographic dispersion, if you will. And then again, from a security perspective, really key, because whether you're large or whether you're small, whether you're in the grocery environment or whether you're in the general retail or the hospitality environment, a quick service restaurant, having that security is really, really key. So we've tried to design this so that it can hit all of those markets with the flexible configuration that we've created.
Okay. Now, is there a limitation or a specific OS that the software vendors can use, or can they put any kind of software they want on top of the hardware?
So, that's a great question. What is happening more and more is that the latest silicon that we use in our devices really partners up quite well with the latest software. So we tend to be a Microsoft house, and we work with Microsoft Windows 10 Pro, as well as the Windows 10 IoT or Internet of Things, which is the embedded version of that. In addition to that, we also have Linux, and we support Linux on this device as well. So those are the current operating systems, and that's what we'll support on this new device. Now, for customers that have a need for an older operating system, we do have a full portfolio. So, right, as I mentioned, this is just the latest addition to the portfolio. And maybe we could talk a little bit more about that. But we have modular systems. We have other all-in-one systems. We also have mobility systems. So we've got a full gamut of product available for them. So if they don't want just necessarily the latest operating systems and have a need for an older one, we've got them covered as well.
Okay. Now, so speaking about mobility, what you mean is mobile, right? A mobile version?
Yeah, so right. not a mobile version of this particular product, but again, we've got a full breadth of the portfolio. So we offer today a 12-inch mobile device, which is very, very popular to be able to do what we call convertibility, which means that you don't have to have just a fixed device and a mobile device. You don't have to have two devices. You have a single device that simply can operate in a fixed position, operate as a traditional point of sale when you need it in that environment. And then with a click of a button, you can take that device off of its stand. You can walk around the store. You can engage with the customer shoulder to shoulder. You can do things like clienteling, look at wish lists, get additional product information, competitive information, do employee training on the floor. So many different use cases, and use it as a mobile device and then simply return it to the dock and continue the transaction. So really to be able to engage the customer where and whenever you need to within the store environment. So that's our 12-inch device. We also have a small 6-inch device that's much better suited really for kind of the individual use, less so, shoulder to shoulder with a customer, much more as an employee productivity tool, if you will. So to be able to do dashboards, to be able to do workforce management, those sorts of things. So you can direct the employees in their operation, in their day-to-day operations in the store.
Right. And of course, when you get into mobile devices versions, the size and the weight of the unit also matters because, you're asking the employee to carry this thing with them, all day around. I've seen like some companies, I think it's LensCrafters, they have a mobile device and it was just heavy. It may not be heavy for picking up once or twice, but if you have to do it all day long, then it becomes. So they actually have created almost like a hanging strap, almost like a case that they put it into, and it helps the employees carry it. So those are the things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think ergonomics is a real key when it comes to mobility, right? So one of the things that we strive for is creating very light, very durable solutions. So we want to make sure, first of all, that it's durable, that it is a commercial-grade product, not something that's just a consumer-grade product, right? Because retail is a very harsh environment. And so we want to make sure that it's something durable, but you can't make it so durable, to your point, that it's heavy and that it's cumbersome and bulky to be able to carry around. So we went to great lengths on our 12-inch device to ensure that it was as thin and as light as humanly possible. We've done a really, really nice job with that. But, for those customers that want that additional security or that additional ergonomic, we have a hand strap as well as we have shoulder straps. So we've got a full array of accessories to be able to help and ensure the ergonomics of the solution.
Okay. So is a mobile version in store or in planning for the Elite series?
I guess what I would say is stay tuned, right? I mean, we're constantly looking at the portfolio. We're constantly looking to try and improve the portfolio. And we're going to push the boundaries of what we can do because our customers are demanding that of us. We want to meet those needs of that customers. So if the market's looking for those sorts of things, I would look to HTP to deliver those in the future.
Okay. Well, I mean, from my own point of view, I was surprised that it's not even in the launch plan. So I definitely think that it would be great if HP actually adds that to the mix.
Yeah. So, and what? Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. That's fine.
I was just going to say, and for today, we've got great solutions. We've been very successful with the mobile products that we have out today. For your listeners, the MX-12 is just an absolutely fantastic solution, and the X-3 is a great solution as well. And customers are voting with their dollars, and they're moving forward with those solutions. So we've got some great mobile solutions today. And again, we're just going to continue to push the envelope in terms of innovation with mobility.
Great. Now, security, of course, is a major challenge for everybody, especially retailers. We keep hearing about breaches and hackers getting into retailers' systems. I see that you actually have a fingerprint scanner on the device. How does that work?
So yeah, the fingerprint scanner is just one of the security measures that we have. But the fingerprint scanner utilizes the industry's leading and most widely accepted fingerprint recognition software and hardware. And it allows the associate to be able to log in to be able to access the system. Can also be used for manager override. So if the employee has done something that requires an approval, the manager can use that in that vein as well. So logging in, logging out, those sorts of things. But really, when you talk about security, today's security is really about protecting the consumer data, if you will, that personally identifiable or PII information that a retailer might have about a particular consumer. And analysts are predicting that by 2020, more than 1.5 billion people globally will be affected by data breaches. So it's really not a question of if, it's more a question of when the hackers are going to come calling. And they're out there because it's just so lucrative for them to do. So what we've tried to do is build security into our system, whether that be with some of the things that we've done with Windows 10, with Device Guard, Credential Guard, things of that nature, but also with our SureStart and our Biosphere, which is the industry's first and only self-healing BIOS. So it allows the system to be able to run with a good known version of BIOS. It monitors that BIOS not only upon startup, but during the course of the day, during runtime. And if for any reason that BIOS has been hacked, has been interfered with, or there's been a malicious intrusion, it can go ahead and restart the system with a good known backup version of the BIOS. So we're taking security really to the next level.
Okay, so is that one of the ways that hackers actually, you know, get into the systems is through the BIOS?
Yeah, they're certainly attempting there more and more because it's harder and harder to detect as well as to resolve issues in that BIOS. So that's why we've made this BIOS very, very secure.
Okay. Does this system also provide wireless payments?
So from a payment perspective, what we've done is we've partnered up with the industry's leading payment providers. So both in terms of the actual hardware manufacturers, but also in terms of the payment processors and the gateways that are out there. So regardless of what the retailer's needs are, we shouldn't have any problem addressing those needs and being able to interface with the payment systems that they desire.
Okay, so the actual, if somebody wanted to implement a wireless system, they need a hardware part to actually be able to take, you know, get the wireless signal. Is that like an add-on that can be added or?
Yeah, so we do support wireless in the device itself. Typically, what more and more retailers are doing this day is what we call a semi-integrated approach to payments. And that is to say that when the consumer slides the card, they'll have a separate device from, say, an Ingenico, a Verifone, a Mira, any number of different manufacturers of these devices that read the cards. The information will be sent from the point of sale to that device saying, I have a transaction, it's $25 and I need $25. Customer will be prompted then on that device to swipe the card. The card will then go out with a secure and separate connection, could be wireless or could be wired, but it won't necessarily go through the point of sale product. It will go directly through the router and out through the cloud to be able to get the authorization. The authorization will come back and then it will communicate again back to the point of sale device that the $25 has been approved. And that way the consumer's card data is never held on the device, on the point of sale itself. It's not held in the point of sale software, but rather it's a fully self-contained and what we call a semi-integrated approach.
Okay. So something else that you mentioned as far as the tier of the customers was very interesting for me. You're mentioning that you can actually, a single store can actually get this product. Is the price point to that level for an individual unit that they can actually, it would make sense for a single store owner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so that was one of the big value props that HP brought to the market years ago when we came into the point of sale space, and that is offering purpose-built, a specifically product that is built for point of sale, but at a much more affordable price. So we're able to leverage the scale of HP with the millions of PCs that we make every year to be able to really drive a great price point for any size store. And while it's important for a small store, right, because they're watching every penny that they have, when you think about a larger scale store, anything times 10,000 locations or 10,000 devices becomes a big number, right? So those pennies are important regardless of which tier you're in. And that's something that we pride ourselves is providing ourselves or providing our customers with a very affordable system.
Okay, great. So now looking at the future, you know, I know nobody knows what the future is going to bring, but we have some signs of what might come. You know, one of the concepts that's getting more news these days is a cashierless retail. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think that's something that's we're going to see widely adopted?
Well, I think it depends upon the industry, right? I mean, if you think about the industry, a grocery store is very different than a department store, very different than an electronics boutique, if you will. But I do think, companies, retailers are going to continue to challenge themselves to do a couple of different things. First of all, is to improve the customer experience and to improve convenience within their stores for the customers, to take friction out of the point of sale transaction or out of the relationship that they have. So creating that customer experience is going to be really important to help drive revenue and help them to compete with the online retailers, if you will. The second piece to that is retailers are also, in order to be competitive, are going to have to continue to drive costs out of the equation as well, right? So whether that's labor costs, whether that's equipment costs, whether that's the real estate costs, they're going to continue to look for ways to try and optimize their stores. And part of that, certainly from a cashierless system, it has the potential to do that. But again, that gets offset by the costs that you have to put in to be able to drive those cashierless systems from a technology perspective. So it's really going to depend upon the industry. But I do think that the future is going to hold some really exciting things.
Yeah, I think it's, it seems like as far as the cost for the retailers, having the cashiers there is definitely, something that adds to the operations budget. So, and technically, it seems like that is probably one of the first things that can be automated. But it is it's a lot easier said than done, actually. So, there is a lot of technology that has to work really good. With very low error ratio to make that a complete seamless experience, whereas you're not replacing one thing and then adding two additional steps to the customer experience, like you said.
Right. So, well, and the other thing that I would say about that, again, it's really got to focus and center on that consumer experience, right? Taking friction out and really adding convenience to it. If you think about trying to prepare the merchandise for the consumer to take home, it's not just the cashiering process that takes time, right? It's the bagging of the merchandise. If you're talking about apparel, it's taking the security tags off or taking the hangers away, if you will. So there's a number of different steps that have to take place to operationalize that transaction, if you will. The cashiering or the tendering process is just one of those. So retailers need to be and are, I think, challenging themselves to be cognizant of all of those steps and how do they operationalize this to really improve it. Because ultimately, not every consumer wants a cashierless experience. Not every consumer wants self-checkout, if you will. They're looking for things that are convenient, that really improve their shopping experience. And if cashierless does that in a particular environment, then you can expect that to be adopted.
Yeah, consumers want the best experience.
And how, they do.
You know, how are you going to do that? How, you know, you can remove the cashiers, but are you going to be able to answer their questions if they have a question in the store, or how are you going to handle that? So it might be just a redefining the role of the associates in the store more.
Well, and I think that not only redefining the role of the associates, but the role of retail as a whole is changing, right? Again, we cannot deny the juggernaut that is e-commerce, whether that's Amazon.com, JD.com, Alibaba. Retail exists out there in the e-commerce, in the cloud, if you will. So how do stores accommodate that? How do they make their stores key, in not only in terms of the consumer experience, but part of that supply chain in terms of, for example, buy online and pick up in store, or what we call that ability to be able to satisfy that customer in an omni-channel sense, right? Because the consumer wants to have that seamless experience. They want to have a relationship with the brand that transcends a particular channel. So it goes beyond just the retail store experience, or goes beyond just the e-commerce experience. They want an experience that that is really seamless.
So one final question that is not an easy one to resolve is, as somebody that's in the middle of the retail ecosystem and works there, how do you stay on top of everything that's happening yourself personally? How do you keep in touch with different things that need to be, because things are changing so fast, and the pace of the change is even increasing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because it is changing at an incredibly rapid pace. And you're right, that pace of change is accelerating every day. And so there's a lot of different ways that we at HP do it, but we rely on the team to do it. There is no one individual that's responsible for maintaining all of the trends and all of the data. We work with the CTO's office. We work with our tech ventures organization. We work with our retail experts as well, like myself. I mean, there's just a whole variety of different folks that are all involved in that. But it's a constant effort to stay on top of it. You have to constantly challenge yourself and say, yesterday wasn't good enough. I've got to be better tomorrow, each and every day. And we create a culture of innovation inside of HP, from the way in which we do our innovation week to our relationships with universities. We're constantly challenging ourselves to be better. And I think in retail, again, it's really no different. And that's what's allowed us to be able to move from really a single device, some 15 years ago that we first introduced to the market, to having this wide array of portfolio that we have today, and really moving now to being recognized as the number one ship share provider in the United States in calendar Q1 of this last year, overtaking the industry juggernauts who have been around forever, and number three globally. So it's a challenge, but the market is rewarding us for the effort that we're putting forth.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was a very insightful discussion, and I look forward to definitely hearing more things about Elite POS from HP.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Being an independent retailer is rewarding, but challenging, and there's a lot more to it than you ever imagined. Well, Lightspeed is here to help. With 45,000 customers around the world, we've helped countless entrepreneurs nail the business side of retail so they can spend time doing what they're passionate about. Join us for a six-week speaker series featuring a curated panel of experts that will answer some of retail's toughest questions and give you the edge you need to stay competitive. You have a passion, and we have a passion for technology inspired by you. Visit lightspeedhq.com/speaker-series to learn more.